All right, everyone, welcome back. Today I have with me Ashley Ward, who is a corporate speaker at SEMrush. So SEMrush is an SEO digital marketing tool that I use, I've used for a long time, and that I love. It's a company that I've really come to like and respect over the years with their different Twitter chats and that sort of thing. They've done a lot for the community. Ashley joined them in September or so of 2017. So not too long ago. We're recording this at the beginning of October of 2017. We were connected up by a mutual friend via Twitter. And so today we're going to be talking about organic social media. But before we hop into that, Ashley, welcome. If you would just give us a few words about yourself, about your experience in digital marketing.
Totally. So before SEMrush, I owned a digital marketing agency for a little over 5 years, dabbled in everything except for SEO, and then really put the social media hat cap on. That's where I got started way back when I was in college, started with Tumblr, and then watched social basically transform into what it is today and all the various channels that it is now. And so I worked with larger corporate companies, smaller mom and pop shops, everything in between, helping them really get a social media strategy as well as posting calendars, tools, all of that going, and then pretty heavy into the content aspect of it. So email marketing, blogging, infographics, things like that.
Awesome. So you've had a wide range. I mean, except for SEO, you've had a wide range of different skills that you've acquired over time.
Yes. Yeah. I even thought at one point I could be a website developer and create WordPress websites, but that was short-lived.
Haven't we all? That's awesome. So why social media? Why are you focusing on social media these days?
So it's actually kind of funny how I got into it. I went to school to be a journalist, and my dream was to be a journalism, like hard-hitting news journalist who like worked for Geo or something of that end.
Sure.
And while I was in school, the whole digital no more print thing started happening. So I was like, okay, how can I figure out a way to still connect with people and deliver a story? And then that's when social media started booming. And it literally started from a university reaching out to me and asking if I could take over their Tumblr. And I was just hands, feet on the ground, kind of like a journalist, just going around taking photos, documenting things, and then putting it on, instead of in a print magazine or a newspaper, putting it inside of the social media network. And I loved the interaction that created. And so when I started doing that for businesses and found a way to basically tell a business's story and create engagement, so you're not two separate entities, you're not a business and here's the customer, you're able to actually combine those two together and create conversations using social media, that just blew my mind and I fell in love with it. And haven't left it since.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it when I talk to people that they're like, yeah, I started off doing this one thing and then I found this and was like, this is what I meant to do.
Totally.
And though it's my own story with SEO, like you go, you know, pull down into it. That's super, super, super cool. And so obviously social media has changed quite a bit over the years, right? I mean, I signed up for Facebook, I think in 2004, something like that. And like, there was no Twitter. I mean, I think Tumblr, you know, was around. I think Reddit was kind of around, but it was kind of 4chan at that point, right? So
Yeah, exactly.
But now we have just like, who knows how many social media networks, right? I mean, and it seems like there's a new one that launches and then goes away every like, you know, year or so. But I mean, there's definitely, you know, the big ones, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter,
Instagram,
right. Yeah. See, you're the social media pro. This is why, right? So social media has changed a ton in the last 13, 14 years, right? Especially much from like the organic side of like, this is my own like personal like Facebook, you know, garden to like now businesses are there, right? And it's like, it's a huge channel for people. But, you know, but everyone these days talks about paid, right? And paid advertising. And the search engines have, or not the search engines, SEO mind, the network, the social networks have done so much to reduce our reach, right? Or our organic reach. So today, and you know, I've discussed this, I already said it at the beginning of the show as well. Today, I actually want to talk about organic social media in 2017, going into 2018. Is it even still a thing? And if so, Like, where are you seeing, you know, success? Where are you seeing success for clients, you know, and businesses that you talk with and business owners that you talk with? Like, where should I put my time as someone that doesn't, if I didn't want to put any, like, money into promoting, you know, promoting stuff?
If you didn't want to put money into promoting stuff, and that's a whole nother argument on why that shouldn't even be made. Sure. But if there are businesses that they literally just don't have budget to it, but they have time. Mm-hmm. They don't have the money, but they have time. So if you have time as a resource, then you really need to think of how to tell your story through social media. So there are so many different social media platforms. Figure out which platforms your demographic is on first. Obviously, everyone needs to have a presence on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Past that, you're looking at Instagram and Pinterest are the next. If you're B2B, then you're looking at LinkedIn, then you're looking at Twitter.
Right.
So once you narrow down your demographics, you need to start working on the story, and the story needs to be crafted different for each of those social media networks. So for example, a post on Facebook can be more informative. Say you have an event coming up or a sale coming up, you're trying to tell a story of upcoming news, things that's happening. You can do a video for that on Facebook, and there's ways to go within the algorithm to help make your organic posts still be shown in competitive nature against paid. It's very similar to SEO in the sense of it has to be great content, and it has to be targeted and meant for your exact demographic for the algorithms to be like, okay, even though you're organic, we're going to put you up higher than paid, or we're going to put you up with the paid people. Something on Pinterest that needs to tell a completely different story, because that needs to be 100% creative within either a graphic or an image. And then it needs to link to a landing page. So there's still a lot that you can do with organic, but you have to have time as a resource to better dedicate what kind of story you're telling and how you're telling it and what methods you're using.
Right, right. So it's less of like, I often think of social media as being like a kind of a fire hose, right? Or like a feed, right? So like, I mean, I'm a heavy Twitter user, and it's just like, you know, constant stuff. And yeah, you can, you know, you can curate the stuff that you share, and you can schedule it using a, you know, a Buffer or an Edgar, you know, something like that. But, you know, in keeping with like the general theme, but it seems like these others are more like Facebook, et cetera, are more strategic. And maybe I'm just not thinking about like Twitter strategically either.
Yeah, well, I mean, Twitter is its own strategy entirely. So every single one of these networks really are its own strategy. So for Twitter, it's its own strategy because you have lists and you have hashtags. And so you're constantly trying to monitor your own brand on Twitter, but you're also trying to monitor conversations in order to keep up with your story and embed your story into conversations that are already trending. That's something that you can't really do on Facebook. Hashtags. They tried, people still use them, businesses need to stop using them. But.
Okay. So talking about that, why do businesses need to stop, you know, using hashtags and trying to insert themselves into those conversations on Facebook?
It's the same reason Google Plus isn't a top priority anymore, because people aren't using it. So our customers aren't using it. Businesses to businesses are using it because we're told we're supposed to be using it. Just like when hashtags came out with Facebook, it was the new thing. You got to try it. Everyone tried it. It didn't stick. It didn't work. So now just kind of, especially for like an enterprise company, it can cheapen your posts and it can make your brand look bad because you're a little bit outdated. You should know that Facebook isn't for hashtags anymore.
Gotcha. And so actually it's your audience is going to pick up on that. And also Facebook knows that Facebook isn't for hashtags anymore. So they'll actually like, not show it.
Well, 100%. And it's even more than that. It's 100% your audience. So BuzzFeed, they may throw a hashtag in there because it's the end of their joke line. Sure. Right. That works for their audience because their audience is witty, humorous type of audience. Those are the posts that they do. But for one sentence to have 20 hashtags underneath of it, like a Twitter post or Instagram post would, it's just inappropriate for Facebook.
Gotcha. Interesting. So should, I guess one question that's been in my mind for a long time is like, should businesses actually be, you know, doing like text posts and that sort of thing on, you know, on Facebook, like, hey, we have a sale coming up and here's a, you know, here's the link to it, you know, that sort of thing, which is like, I mean, isn't really like the point of social, that's using it more as like a broadcast channel, but like, Should businesses be doing that sort of thing at all, or really should they be, going all in on video for organic stuff?
Yeah, it's all about video right now. If you have video, the algorithms are automatically going to choose to rank your content higher than something that's just text. If we look at Facebook's history, the post started with just text posts, and we were all good with that. That was fine. And then images started happening, and then links started happening, and then you could customize the links. Now you can't customize the links. Now video's everything for Facebook. And it makes sense to why video is everything for Facebook and Instagram, because it gives this fresher user experience, and it offers this level of engagement, this like behind the scenes type of look. And that's the whole point that Facebook and Instagram and these social networks want to do, is they want to combine the business and customer relationship and make it more of a knock on the door type of a thing versus I'll call you Monday through Friday.
Sure, totally. That makes sense. So I'm gonna turn on my SEO mind a little bit here, and let's talk about like face. I mean, so Facebook obviously owns Instagram, right? And so and obviously those are two very different platforms, Facebook and Instagram. But they both have their own like ranking algorithms, just like Google has a ranking algorithm. Can you talk to me, like, give us some insight into like, if I'm like my business credo, very B2B, right? But like I do have, people following me on, on Facebook. LinkedIn is way better for, for my business. But how can I like give me like assume I know nothing about Facebook and like ranking organic content, which I don't. How do I think about that? How do I think about getting my, my content showing, to my like to my target audience, organically? In Facebook and also in Instagram, I think would be interesting to talk about too.
Yeah, I almost think Instagram's a little bit easier because you have the hashtag opportunity and you also have the places opportunity. So with your Instagram post, if you're like a brick and mortar or if you have lots of locations, you can add your location onto your post. And if you think about your own user experience, so someone like myself, when I'm going to a new country, a new state, a new city, I'll actually go to Instagram and I'll look at the place, and I'll look at the posts, because that's showing me what it's really like versus the stock photos that are on websites.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if you think of how you use Instagram and Facebook, and if you're all like your demographic, you need to start crafting things for that. And regardless of whether it's Facebook's algorithms or Instagram's algorithms, if you're creating content that your users actually want to see, like not stock photo content, actual behind the scenes footage, in the moment type of capturing, here's our staff at lunch type of idea, giving it that edgy feel. If you're targeting towards millennials, you need geometric shapes somewhere in there, or wood or something like
Yeah,
that.
totally. Coffee.
Yeah, coffee. If you're targeting to an older audience, Facebook gave a fantastic example of this. There's one restaurant, can't remember if it was in Virginia or whatnot, but there's a restaurant and they have a wide demographic. They have a young demographic, a more millennial demographic, and then they have an older demographic. So they did different posts for each of those demographics in order to hit and communicate with both of them. The one for the older demographic focused on the food that the restaurant served. It wasn't anything crafty or anything like that. It just was a nice photo that showed their food. And then the one for the millennial demographic featured their happy hour specials. And so that
Interesting.
shows of their drinks. And then the one for the youngest demographic focused on desserts. And
Interesting.
thinking that through, like, it doesn't matter if your demographic isn't trendy and millennial and all that crap. You just have to basically think like your own demographic does, and what do they enjoy seeing? What do they actually enjoy engaging with? And put yourself in their shoes. And then it doesn't matter what the algorithms say or what the algorithms do.
Yeah, totally. That's absolutely right. And then the I mean the thing is like with SEO, it's create stuff people actually want to see, right? You'll and I mean the story goes, then you'll earn links to it, and then it'll rank because it's like actually stuff people want to see. So in SEO, it's links, but it seems like in social, it's engagement, right? It's like it's people seeing it, it's people double tapping on Instagram or liking the post or liking your update on on LinkedIn or whatever. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, and if you encourage sharing, so a lot of businesses in their posts will be like, tag three friends who want to do this, or tag a friend you want to share this moment with. Just by doing that, you're increasing the engagement. And so then you're telling the algorithms, this is popular and my demographic likes it because they're tagging their friends or their family members, similar like-minded people. So if you can figure out a way to integrate that into one or two of your posts a week, I mean, definitely not every single one, because then people are just going to stop tagging. They're going to stop hashtagging. They don't want to engage with you anymore. So it needs to be minimal, but that's a good way to get your most important posts in the algorithm's eyes if we're not as focused on the user story.
Totally, totally. And do you, I mean, I personally, and you know, I'm not my audience, right? Like, marketers are not our audiences, but like, do that stuff really works? Because I see that it's like, tag two of your friends. I'm like, go away. Like, no, I'm not gonna tag two of my friends. But like, people actually do that?
So I'm not my demographic either, but I do it, and I do it all the time. And when it used to be allowed to, I did it the most when it would be like, tag three friends, add this hashtag, repost this image, and be entered to win a $25 gift card to this, or be entered to win this. I would do it left and right, and then I basically get strings and strings and strings of people. Now you can't do that as much. So now you have to find more creative ways on why you would tag them. And it's really cool what businesses are doing now. And they're literally doing things like, tag someone that you would want to share this memory with, or tag someone who needs to hear this today. So it's not direct about their business or their service. It's more of this like inspirational, motivational piece. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, like you can find a way to make that work.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, it's I mean, it's kind of like with, you know, I mean, it's content marketing is what it is. Like, it's social media, it's social media content marketing. Like, you know, if this is like, you know, the 0 to 1 of like the people that are actually going to buy, like, and it's a spectrum to 10, like, how can you get out to 9? It's like something that's, you know, related to your business. It's not like, you know, if it's an auto repair shop or something like that. Like, there's so much that they can do around, you know, around it. That's not just like, come in and get your oil change for 20% off today, right? Like,
We get seeing that. We want to see the cars of the before and after. We want to see a video testimonial happen. We want to see what you guys do on your lunch break and holidays. Yeah. I mean, what's your holiday party look like? I want to go to someone that's family owned, that's not a corporate company. So what makes you different? What makes you unique? You have so many opportunities with organic social to show that.
Totally, totally. So one of my challenges with organic social is that it feels very like soft, that it's like, give people what they want. I'm like, but how do I know what they want? I mean, obviously part of it is like talking to your customers, right? But like, is there like a data-driven way that we can go at figuring out like what kind of content should I be creating for my audience on, you know, on Facebook or Instagram or wherever? Because it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, right? Like, you can create it, but if you don't have anyone to promote it to, no one's going to interact with it, and you're not going to know if like people will interact with it in the future. So how do I solve that conundrum?
So one way to do it, and you could totally do this on social, but most of everything else for digital marketing, you can't unless you have tools like SEMrush to get competitor data.
Shameless plug. I love it.
I had to.
Yeah.
With social, you could actually go to your competitors and see what they're posting and see what people engage with. What do they like? They're your direct competitors. Yep. Why wouldn't you go to their Facebook or Instagram page and see what they're doing, see what's not getting any likes, analyze it. What day was it? What time did they post? What kind of caption? Did they use a filter? Analyze the crap out of it, and then either duplicate it or don't duplicate that. Like, make a list of do's and don'ts based on your competitors. Why not? They're already posting. It's public.
Right. That's actually really, really smart. Is there a way for me to like download all of my like competitors' followers and then like target them on social? Or is that getting a little bit like gray hat?
No, I don't think, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think it's gray hat by any means. It's public knowledge. Everything's out there. Sure. And there's no way bigger corporations aren't doing the same darn thing.
Right.
But I don't think, and I could be completely wrong, so if there's a tool out there that's watching this, like, drop it down, let people know about it. If
totally.
Isn't a tool for it, that would be great, because it's really hard to find competitor data on social unless you do brand mentions and track your competitors' brands.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to do it. But aside from that, it's kind of more of a manual process as far as what I've always done. And it's not so much that it's time consuming. It's not that hard to just, it's not like you're Googling your competitors and you're doing site audits for every single one of their sites. You're going to their social media profiles. You're looking at their last 10 posts and what worked and what didn't.
Right. Right. Totally. No, that makes, you can do that in 30 minutes or, you know, an hour easily and have a really good idea of like what you should be doing and not be doing.
Even check out, like, so holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. Even check out what they did for last year's holiday campaigns.
Hmm.
That'd That's be smart. So interesting to see what kind of promotions they did. If you're always offering the like free shipping or buy one, get one half off, if you need something really unique, lots of times I'll just start going to social media for my past clients. And I would just look at what people did for previous holiday campaigns to see how you can change it. Is there one creative word that we're missing, basically?
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's super smart. I mean, and that's definitely way more like in the research phase of like what strategy should we be employing, but that drives so many things and that can drive your strategy across a lot of platforms as well. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then that basically also tells your content team, hey, we need to produce this kind of content because this worked great for them.
Right. Right. Totally. Yeah. This worked great for them. So let's see if we can, you know, see if it makes sense for our own business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So is there a magic like formula? And I hate when people ask me these sorts of questions on SEO, but I'm going to do it to you with social media because I can't, because I don't know anything about organic social. Is there like, what's your, not a magic formula, what is you as Ashley, what is your rule of thumb when it comes to like, you know, when you're doing stuff for organic, especially like, and I'm especially thinking about Instagram, because Instagram has blown up in the last year, 2 years, right? I remember when Facebook bought them 5 years ago and I was like, holy crap, Facebook just paid $1 billion for this photo app. And now it's like, wow, they got a phenomenal deal on that, right? Like they almost have that many users, which is insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to a platform like Instagram, which is so like, you know, it's so photo heavy. Yeah, you can, and I see a lot of people doing like I'm big into like outdoors, adventure, and cars. So I follow a lot of outdoors adventure, like, you know, outdoor research and REI, and then like, you know, a lot of like Ferrari and Bentley, right? Like, so I follow like, you know, a lot of car makers as well. And a lot of them do some really interesting things, you know, storytelling and that sort of thing. But like, what's the, is there a balance there between like, you know, and obviously it has to be beautiful, you know, beautiful photography, especially if you're a well-known brand, like it has to be super high quality photography or video or whatever. But like, Is there ever a time on Instagram to, you know, be pushing sales and, you know, and that sort of thing? And how do you do that in a like, in a true to your brand voice sort of way?
Yeah. So 100%. I think Instagram is a great place. Facebook is the main place to promote sales and events and things like that. But I think I just saw a new company yesterday pop up on my Instagram feed, and they had just opened their like a modern furniture company, and they just did their first release yesterday and they blew up, like their website crashed.
Nice.
But what they did was they posted photos of their products and they posted photos of the families using their products. And then in the captions, they actually put what happened.
Huh.
So That's what like changed it the most, is they didn't actually put the copy on the imagery. They put it in the caption. So as you're scrolling, you're attracted to the image, and that's what makes you stop.
Right. Right. I mean, I've been seeing so many like, I'll be scrolling through my feed and Instagram. I remember, you know, a year ago, they said they were going to start doing advertising, and I was like, oh no, here we go. And now like, now I scroll through and like, I find myself like double tapping and liking freaking advertisements.
Yep.
Like, are you kidding me? That's crazy.
And that's also partially like, because you have the carousel feature now and you have the video feature now. So people are a lot more attracted to it. It doesn't look so much like an ad. You're not seeing this like big red bubble plastered on it saying 50% off. I mean, that's perfect for Facebook, but for Instagram, it really just turns you off. So you need to be posting what you're regularly posting and then putting the details within the caption. That's
Totally.
generally the rule of thumb.
So you're not trying to tell the story or whatever within the, you know, within the photo. It's like you're keeping the same like kind of feel of your feed, and then and so people actually do read is what I'm taking away from this. People actually do read Instagram captions.
Yes, yeah.
Huh.
And I don't think there's rule of thumb on short to long captions. It depends on your audience. So if you look at Yoga Girl, who has like, I think, 9 million followers.
Lot of followers, yeah.
Yeah, tons of followers. Her posts are paragraphs upon paragraphs. And it works because her demographic is following her because they're following her life's journey and storytelling, and like they like that diary. For a business, I would definitely suggest keeping it shorter, but some businesses they have the story to tell, and it's interesting enough to where you can keep it longer. So I don't think there's a direct policy, especially for organic, where it has to be one sentence or five words or anything like that.
Totally, totally. Yeah, that's really interesting to know. So, final question is, I mean, when it comes to under leveraged or under like underutilized channels, like where are you seeing businesses not engaging and not, you know, not being on social that they should be?
That's a great question, and it's really, I think it's all social networks. There's still so many businesses who haven't tapped into social media at all, and they'll
Yeah.
create a Facebook page just because they're told to do it, and then they won't do anything with it, and it
Yeah.
just looks like this ghost town for their business. And it really does reflect negatively when people are shopping around. I would much rather choose your competitor who has some kind of presence on social and has some kind of activity, because just like an active website shows Google that you're up to date, an active social media profile shows customers that you're still in business, you're thriving, you're doing great. Here's what's going on with your business.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's I think that's a great place to end it, because there are, yeah, as you've said, there are so many businesses that, you know, they're not doing anything, right? And I mean, and they have a page, and so that looks bad. So either like, I mean, I guess I have a follow-on question to that, which is like, if they're not going to be willing to invest the time into like doing something or hiring, you know, someone to like manage it for them, should they even have like a Facebook page or, you know, a Pinterest account or something like that?
In my opinion, no, because then it just looks
Okay.
like dead space. And it really makes me wonder, are you still in business? Like, sure, Google can tell me what your hours of operation are, but that also tells me maybe Google doesn't know that you've closed yet.
Right.
So.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, and that's yeah, I think that's a really interesting place, you know, to end, because a lot of businesses, as I said, are, you know, just coming around to it. And so I think the real word is, you know, to kind of summarize all of this is, you know, you have to be willing to invest the time into it. Each channel is different. So you know, you need to figure out who is your audience on these different channels.
Because you don't need to be on all of them.
Right, totally. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the same. Like, you know, if you're marketing to entrepreneurs, like, you know, it's gonna be LinkedIn and Instagram, weirdly, Instagram.
Totally.
You know, like that's where I put most of my company. Like my company is very B2B, like entrepreneurs and business owners and marketing managers and VPs of marketing, like they're all on Instagram and LinkedIn. They're not on, you know, they're on Facebook, but not like in a business sort of way. They're not gonna be like interacting on my, you know, on my page. So yes, so who's your audience? And then also you can go and look at your competitors and what are they doing, what's working or not. If they're not doing anything, ask yourself why. Is that because there isn't an audience there, or because they just haven't done anything, and that's actually a big opportunity for you? And then at the end of the day, you don't. I think I love that. I think that's actually going to be the title of this: is you don't have to be everywhere.
Perfect. I love
Everyone thinks like go
it.
use Noam and like claim your profile everywhere. Like, actually, maybe not. I mean. And if you're smart and have the copyright and someone tries to impersonate you, you can, you know, you can get that taken down. So you don't even really have to worry about that too much as a business, especially.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being with me today. I know I've learned a ton. I'm probably gonna ping you offline and ask you more questions, to be totally honest
Thank
with
you
you.
so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if you would tell us where can people find you online?
Definitely. So you can reach me at Twitter at Ashley Mad Hatter. You can also
Where did that
email.
name come from, by the way?
So my agency was called Madhouse Matters and then rechanged it to Madhouse Marketing. And it took like, I don't even remember how many months. It easily took half a year to come up with the name. And it came down to something as simple as I loved the idea of the whole madness that came from like Alice in Wonderland, the creativity. And that's what, like, I wanted creativity to be the front and center of an agency. And really, an agency is super mad when it comes down to it. It's, there's so many moving parts. There's so many hats to wear. And
it's unbelievable business. It's crazy.
So just kind of combining all of those things and polling a lot of people, that's what it came down to.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So you can find you on Twitter. Where else?
You guys can find me LinkedIn, Facebook, Facebook profiles, public. You can message me. You can also email me ashley.ward@scmrush.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And are you part of SEM Rush's like Twitter chats and such as well?
So I don't manage it or anything like that, but I participate in it and absolutely love it.
And
so
that is that. That's when that's Tuesdays.
Wednesdays from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
8 to 9 a.m. So 11 to noon Eastern Standard Time, and figure out times from there. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And that's just the hashtag SEM Rush Chat, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ashley, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and we'll speak to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you.